Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am the Need for Sean. This is Thomas, who thought it was a poker game. And another goddamn racing game, Mason. And we played... Need for Speed, High Stakes on the PlayStation.
Well, fuck, it's not.
I know. Why did I spend all this money on these chips?
I learned how to play poker, especially for this.
I took out a loan.
Not sure.
I took out a loan of $40,000 just to get in. What?
I don't feel like you need to do that with poker. Oh, that would have been nice to know.
What these two don't know is that this is part of my master plan to slowly but surely turn this into a racing game exclusive podcast.
I'm going
to
break your jaw. How's that sound?
So,
you cannot stop it. It will happen.
This is the second time we've jumped into a long-running racing franchise.
Yeah.
Forza
oh,
was
yeah,
the first
right.
one.
We did Forza,
and now we're jumping into the one me and Sean are actually familiar with, mm-hmm. Need for Speed.
Albeit, I would be more familiar with games, a few that came afterwards, when they were on like PlayStation 2, GameCube, yeah. and Xbox.
The Hot Pursuit games.
I'm more thinking the drag racing stuff.
Oh, okay.
Underground series is where I really got, where I played most of my Need for Speed is from the Underground series.
Okay, that makes sense.
The only Need for Speed game I've completed is The Run, which is the one people don't like, so of course. Mm.
This is one of those like interesting point in times because this came out in 1999. Mm-hmm. It is the fourth Need for Speed game, but it's the first one that drops the numbers in it. Because mm-hmm. before it was Need for Speed 1, Need for Speed 2, Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit, and then Need for Speed High Stakes.
We also, because this, as we mentioned before, this was my game that we had when I was a kid. We also had 3. We had Hot Pursuit. I played this more, though.
Okay, so you had Hot Pursuit. So all the first game, all of the original first five games were PC games mm-hmm. that were ported over to the PlayStation. The fifth one was also ported over to the Game Boy, a Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. And the first one was ported over to the Sega Saturn, the 3DO, and the PlayStation. But mm-hmm. 2, 3, and 4 were just PlayStation as far as consoles go. Mm-hmm. So... it is very interesting. The last time we did something that was a PC port was Call of Duty, when we did play Call of Duty.
That's right.
But that would
yeah.
be a generation on the Xbox mm-hmm. where PC, where the console games could keep up with more of the PC games. Mm-hmm. This is very, very interesting because at the time, there weren't a ton of PC ports, or it was a lot of times it was dumbed down because
yeah.
Us filthy console owners couldn't comprehend.
Kind of like putting a PC game on a PS1.
Mm-hmm. But... this game legitimately is one of those that got quite a bit better reviews across the board on the PlayStation than it would on the PC. Praising things like its graphics, its AI, its controls, not necessarily its glitching nature, but, you know, which Thomas and I got to fully experience that glitching. And then Mason came down and fixed it all.
Because
yes,
he's got the touch.
You got the touch. You got that. Anyways, kind of going back to my personal history with this franchise, the Need for Speed games are kind of weird for me because, you know, like my preference with racing games is more towards the simulation type, like the mm-hmm. more realistic, the better for me. And this game kind of does, this franchise rather, tries to do kind of like the Burnout thing, like the Burnout Paradise thing where it's like, kind of simulation and kind of arcadey at the same time.
Here's the thing, because at the time, I this game actually did the simulation better than the big simulation franchise at the time, because on the PlayStation, this actually, by a lot of people, considered a better driving simulator than Gran Turismo at the time.
Which I'm thinking back to it, comparing it to the other Gran Turismo game that, like, the one that I played the most, which I think now, was 4?
Okay, not better than 4. I'm talking Gran Turismo 1 and 2, which were on the PlayStation. Okay.
That makes sense. That makes more sense.
Now, Gran Turismo 3 on the PlayStation 2 and 4 on the PlayStation 3 absolutely,
okay, three is the one.
Absolutely were, you know, they really leaned into the simulation.
Okay.
But the previous ones, this is kind of what driving simulating was back then. And so, they had really realistic models, more realistic car models than Gran Turismo at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This game was hugely praised for that.
That is interesting. I did play this game a lot, but the game that I remember the most from the Need for Speed series, because I played it later in life when I got my 360, was Hot Pursuit 2012.
So the third or fourth in the Hot Pursuit series?
I believe the third.
I believe the third, because it goes Hot Pursuit is the third game, then Hot Pursuit 2 is the sixth game.
And then it's Hot Pursuit. Christ, I hate this fucking convention.
And then they made another Hot Pursuit after that.
No wonder Fast and Furious was like...
That's what we need to do.
But yeah, but that game is... The Hot Pursuit 2012, that game is weird because all the cars are like real cars, and it does try to be like kind of a simulation game, but it doesn't feel like one at all.
Well, remember what happened in the industry at that point. We had our simulations, which are Gran Turismo, Forza, which were doing fine. But what was the boom when racing games boomed in the mid-2000s? Burnout 3.
Yeah.
That is the racing game that changed racing games. Now, Underground is the other one that came out and changed in a lot of it. Neither of those are super realistic.
Mm.
Those two, the Underground franchise and the... Burnout franchises changed racing, and Need for Speed needed to capitalize a bit more on the underground. So some of their realism, again, they still have real cars. They still aren't, you know, it's not Mario Kart out there. It still is, you are racing cars and you're feeling it, but it's not meant to simulate like Gran Turismo or Forza to simulate actual racing. It's meant to be a racing game.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I remember really, this is the last thing I'll say about Hot Pursuit 2012 before we get back to the game that we're actually talking about. The thing that really frustrated me with Hot Pursuit 2012 is that it went for an open world type thing, kind of like a Forza Horizon or like I mentioned before, Burnout Paradise. But unlike those games, where there's like a centralized garage with a menu where all the cars are, in Hot Pursuit 2012, all the cars were all over the map, and you had to find them, and you had to find them to change cars, which annoyed the hell out of me because I like to diversify when it comes to the cars that I drive in these games, and I like to change them pretty often. So having to drive there and find the car to change into it, drive it, and then try to find another car, it was very frustrating.
Oh no, you had to drive in a driving game.
Curse is a hole in my logic, and I did not foresee. No, but you get what I mean.
I do. I understand. What
you're... No. That sounds obnoxious.
Yeah.
Need for Speed High Stakes is a racing game. I notice I haven't talked a lot. It's because I'm like, I don't know what else I have to say. It's a racing game.
It's a PlayStation
dog
racing
shit
game.
At it.
And yet you beat Mason several times.
Because Mason was like, ooh, that wall looks pretty. Come on, give me a smooch.
Shut up.
I mean, I did too.
Yeah, that's true. But often.
And Sean got in bed with it without walking in.
I didn't just get in bed. I stayed with that wall. I was loyal.
I married that wall.
I proposed, married, and had a 70-year marriage to that wall. I was faithful.
Why didn't you have any kids? Why are you kidding? It's a wall.
There's 8 generations now in the family how long I was with that wall.
Christ.
Anyway.
But yeah, going back to this, you know, thinking about it more, because we did have at home at least Gran Turismo 2 and 3. We may have had the first one too. I only played them a couple of times because I kept going back to 4. But thinking about it more, I was like, this is probably, like, of the PS1 racing games that we had, probably the one I played the most.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I think the one that felt the best.
The thing to remember with the PlayStation racing games is, yeah, you had your Gran Turismos, you had this, you had some more simulating types, but the majority of racing games at the time, PlayStation, Nintendo 64, were more...
There were
kart racers, things like that. The first of the kart racing boom happened with Mario Kart 64. You know, you had Diddy Kong Racing.
You had CTR. You had Disney's Magical World Tour, Mickey's Speedway. Yes, Disney got two.
And then didn't do one for a long time.
Yeah. Would you consider the F-Zero games to be part of that?
Yeah, kind of. That are more arcadey. Like, you know, we played Hydro Thunder, you know, which was around the same.
That was like... Cruising USA,
mm-hmm.
and all the big arcade racers.
Because still most racing games, aside from really like Gran Turismo, were meant to still simulate. You just wanted to go fast. Mm-hmm. And the point was, how fast can we go, how much we can do, and how much weird, silly fun can you have in it?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really until things like Gran Turismo 3 and then afterwards Forza and things like that that kind of changed that racing simulator really started to find a niche in the gaming world. Not to say that there weren't simulators, they just weren't the top seller type of thing like that. Uh-huh. You weren't seeing the big franchises that were really following along, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And also because the technology wasn't there to truly simulate
to truly do
it.
Again, Forza, mm-hmm. Gran Turismo, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, so I think the big thing with a lot of this game is it does that real car look, but it's like, hey, you can have some fun. Chase them down with cops. Mm. Or, you know, just drive in some really gorgeous, PlayStation gorgeous places. Like,
uh-huh. I think of these early racing games that we've played, other than NASCAR 07, which was just... left turn, left turn, left turn, and then maybe another left turn thrown in there just for fun. Other than that, this is probably like the easiest to like get into, to get a mm-hmm. grip on. This is a good racing game. If you take anything from this podcast, this is a good racing game for beginners.
Yes,
I think.
Unless your controller fucks up.
Which,
that's a situational issue.
Things happen, but yes, I agree. Like, this is one that anyone can just pick up and play. Absolutely. It doesn't mm-hmm. you know, Forza has a bit of a learning curve, or you know, knowing anything about car curve.
Forza has a wall,
a learning wall.
Forza has, do you know about cars? And me going, fuck.
You didn't do your homework.
You know about cars, right? They take menthol, right? No, no, it's not it at all.
Ka-chow?
So that's close. Car related.
But with those sort of things, you definitely find that this game is very user friendly.
Yes.
Sure. When you get in the racetrack, the menus are not the most user friendly, but they're fine. But they're. I think some of that is it's also that the PlayStation, there's some load in time that's really annoying.
That's true.
There's some things in it. They're not bad menus. There's a lot to them, which I like. But
I need to go back and find what episode you started being like the menus, and then focus on the menus. It is Eminem's Adventure.
It is Eminem's Adventure. It's 100% Eminem's Adventure.
It didn't fucking happen.
Look, things that I would burn into my brain, but that is something that I notice those sort of things. But
it's all about presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
presentation is important.
When you get into the level, everything looks great. Everything feels. The controls are really good as long as your controller is not messing with you or you are hitting the wrong buttons occasionally and putting yourself in neutral.
That did happen for both of us, actually.
Yeah.
That's not something I can make fun of you for because I didn't see.
I tried that. To and didn't.
Thomas is like, I just want to be in neutral. And the game's like, no.
I just want to cruise.
This is no, wrong franchise. This isn't Cruising USA.
This game is very much.
Why not?
Very, very much. A good beginner PlayStation game. And again, it plays very similar to Gran Turismo. I think it plays better than the original, the first two Gran Turismos, which I liked those games. But a lot of those games are you know, okay, you're racing. You feel speed in here. You know, there was a moment when Thomas and I were racing where I was like, oh, I'm going fast. I'm going 100 mile an hour. What do you mean you're going 200 mile an hour?
Yeah, it was Sean was at like 90 something. I look up and it's 176. Cool.
Yeah, like I was like, how did you double the distance between us?
Small correction. The display in this isn't kilometers per hour. It's not miles per hour.
I don't care.
I'm just for accuracy's sake, I should have checked in the menus that there was a way to change it to miles per hour. There probably is. I just didn't bother to check.
This is America, Mason. We don't do the metric system in America. Also, Mason's like, I don't do math, but kilometers per hour, that's what I'm going to bring out.
Listen, I can get like a vague...
Well, it's because he watches Top Gear.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. But I can vaguely, like, because I think if I remember, like, 100 kilometers per hour is like 60 miles per hour. So going off of that, I can, like, vaguely tell which is... Where how fast in American mile in America's per
in American miles?
It's like how fast are you going in America?
I'm going 120 cheeseburgers per freedom.
The point.
Oh, yeah. 120 heart diseases per bald eagles, baby.
The point before Mason decided to go on a technicality was that you feel speed in this game, especially for. A PS1 game, that is not easy.
The power we
saw with Muppets, which was on the Muppets Race Mania, that was like it was obviously very fun, but there was never a feeling of speed in that.
I feel like that was an issue that we had with Hydro Thunder too, that there wasn't that
because a lot of the
to be fair with Hydro Thunder, we didn't unlock a lot of the mm-hmm. speedy boats.
And the big thing about those games is it's less about how fast your vehicle is going to make it feel. It's more about how the environments. And as Mason pointed out in this, the draw distance on this is really good.
Yes. Yeah, that is something that I brought up. That,
with the speed of
that,
this game.
Yeah, that I think of all the like early racing games that we played, the draw distance in this, like I was impressed with, like, even in the multiplayer, like, these guys were saying that they were having issues with that, with the multiplayer. But even in the multiplayer, it worked surprisingly well.
No, in the multiplayer, the draw distance was fine. It was, I'm guessing it was our disc, or rather my disc, because I'm the one who owns this game. And I'm going to be honest, the case is in really bad shape, so I'm guessing it's the disc.
Yeah.
But when me and Sean, we picked Canada as our map because the two of us saw train!
We saw a train and literally at the same point went, ooh, train, let's do that.
Yeah, and so... We started playing that level, sped off, 15 seconds later the game froze. Then it kept going, then 15 seconds later the game froze. And me and Sean look at each other like, oh no.
it was, yeah.
But and then later on we were able to play on that same map and it worked fine.
And the game froze afterwards, so we're assuming it was a disc issue or a loading thing, or it needed to reload everything.
It needed to be hard reset, but...
Also,
like many PlayStation games.
Also, since you guys like trains, I believe in... It might be in every Forza game, but I know every Forza Horizon game, rather. But at least in two to the current one, there is a train race.
Greatest game ever. Anyway,
I've played those games. Where the fuck was that?
So,
yeah. Anyways,
I think
to be fair, if I played, I mean messed around with for like 30 minutes. So.
Well, yeah, that would be why.
One of the things that really makes I think again, it's basic racing controls, but. They feel really good.
They do.
Like, you know, when you hold X and your controller is working, you feel like you're going.
And it's interesting that, like, there was probably, like, other controller configurations. I didn't mess around with those. I don't tend to do that because I don't want to screw myself. But it was interesting that, like, even playing it the way that, like, it is, that the controller is configured defaultly, where X is accelerate and square is brake, which was weird for me to get a hold of because I'm used to both the triggers, the right trigger being gas and left trigger being brake.
Yeah,
I'm used
Xbox.
To that. So playing it this way, it like even with how weird the controls were for me, it still felt good. Like the only sort of thing for like changing it from that way to the other is that like with the triggers you can like choose like how much gas you want and how much brake you want at any time. And this, it's just all gas or all brake. which was the thing to get used to.
It's a PS1.
Yeah, which is PS1. That's how you're going to get for the controls, how you're going to get
it. Even if there was triggers, it's PS1.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. And the triggers on the
controls. You don't necessarily want... now with the way like the 4 and 5 controllers are, yeah, that would work on the PlayStation, but those old, you really don't want R1 or L1 being your gas. Yes. Legitimately, you probably don't, but I think, I really liked the controls. Again, I won something in this racing game. So like I caught Mason.
Yeah, you can't complain.
I was a cop and I caught Mason.
But, I crashed. I let you win. But anyway. But
I also crashed.
You're under arrest, he said to the corpse.
But I also crashed when you caught me, so therefore I let you win.
And there you go. We're even. But
fucking babies.
bringing up what you said before about how you don't want the triggers in this to be that. I'm really curious now. I want to try that.
I'm sure it's one of the configurations.
Wouldn't surprise me. Plus, there are games that do that. I think that I just like this era of racing games. I like the PlayStation racing games. Maybe because I'm better at them because they're less realistic and it's less punishing on you not being able to sit and do street races.
These are the kind of games that I like for racing games where it's real cars. Real, at least real looking cars, but you're doing
all of them except for like one or two.
I'm talking in general.
Oh, in general. Okay.
General, like real looking cars, but kind of more arcade controls. That's why I suggested Split Second earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. So. I think with this game, you mentioned like the real cars. It's really cool. Is this game actually got the Porsche license back? Hadn't been in the game for 2 years. Porsche Racer 97 was the last time the license had been in a game, and this game got it back. Porsche Challenge.
I think I may be remembering this wrong, but I'm fairly certain like the Porsche 911 holds the record for being the car that's used in the most video games.
Porsche what?
It's the model.
They hit the towers.
It's called. The 9/11. It's called the 9/11. It's
something got into the Pentagon. Fuck me.
I'm surprised you didn't notice that when we were playing this game and I picked that card.
No, I did because I wasn't paying attention. I'm just going to be honest.
I did notice it, but didn't say anything. But yeah, just now that changes the entire thing. It's just this cars plummeting down to the Pentagon.
German cars playing it.
So. This game, as mentioned, was very well received. 8s and 9s and 10s across the board. It was awarded Racing Game of the Year. The Windows version was awarded Racing Game of the Year by the Computer Gaming World.
What won Racing Game of the Year on console, or does it say?
It doesn't say on that what they did, but...
Can't go down this rabbit hole again.
I was just curious.
Well, yeah. No, I get it.
And now Sean's like, oh, now I gotta look it all up.
But that was also the Windows one. I don't know what console is. Here we go. Down here. I've got you. Don't worry. High Stakes was nominated for Driving Game of the Year, losing to NASCAR Racing 3.
Interesting.
Similarly, at the Game of the Year 1990 awards, the game was a runner-up in the Best Driving Racing category, but lost to Grand Theft Auto 2.
What?
That don't count, though.
That's what it was nominated.
That would be like if I'm like, yeah, my favorite driving game is Sleeping Dogs. Like, I don't.
I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah.
They're wrong. That's stupid.
I love that driving game, Saints Row. Like, what? That feels like a technicality.
Yeah. That's stupid.
Okay, what has broken us more? The fact that Grand Theft Auto 2 beat it in a driving racing game, or things are called Game of the Month for a publication for a specific console?
It might be that. It might be Grand Theft Auto winning driving game, because at least Game of the Month, it's like, okay, there's a little check mark on each month. Neat. Grand Theft Auto winning driving game, what the fuck?
Yes,
that's actually pissing me off. It should, but it is.
It's like you drive in it. It's like saying Mario's a shooter because you shoot fireballs.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what it's like. That doesn't. That's really stupid.
That does not compute. Isn't Grand Theft Auto 2, that's still when it's in the top down. In the top down phase.
Grand Theft Auto 3 was when it went 3D.
Yeah, yes. So that makes even less sense.
I know you're not
in control. I know this is not directed at you, Sean.
It's just, I'm aware. I just am like
this is really stupid. That's pissing me off.
I am really mad at this thing that happened like 5 years before I was born.
Say this thing that happened a decade before you were born.
Not since Sifu was nominated for Best Fighting Game has Thomas been this mad at a game winning.
It's not a fighting game.
You had to say it.
Oh, I know.
You had to say
it. I know what I did.
I mean, in that game, in that award ceremony's defense, Sifu didn't fucking win.
That is fair.
So, interestingly, here's a couple of fun things about this game as we get back to it. That they actually, the Windows version had downloadable cars that you could get off of the EA website.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were going to say the Indy 500 website for some reason. Like, yeah, whatever car won, you can download.
The cars that you could download were the Ferrari 360 Madonna, yes. The Lister Storm, the Aston Martin DB7, and the Jaguar XJR15.
So I'm guessing they were added.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are all because
the DB7 is in this.
And so's the Jag, yeah.
Yeah, the Jag, because that's...
Which would make sense, interesting, because the PlayStation came out first.
Really?
Oh! I was gonna say, what a fucking dick move for Windows players.
But yeah, since you were bringing up the downloadable cars in this, that reminded me of a really cool feature that you can do in this game that's like kind of a relic of a bygone era because we don't really have memory cards anymore. Yeah. Or at least we don't trade them around like we used to.
They're more in the consoles now, yeah. So it's like, hey, want to trade?
But yeah, this game has a. Kind of like in real life where you race for pink slip, where you race for pink slips for car, for the ownership of the car. You can do that in this game where you bring your memory card with all the cars on it, and then someone else brings their memory card. You pick the cars, and then whoever wins gets the opponent's car.
That's one of my really favorite things that you could do back in the day with memory cards was that sort of thing. Like, I'm thinking about the original Animal Crossing, if you plugged in your memory card into the other slot of someone else's, you could then visit their island. Like, you could go over and visit their island. So that was always really fun. It's something that obviously, because everything's online, you're just like, yeah, I'm connected up and I'm visiting your things.
Well, because again, memory cards just aren't a thing
anymore. Because they're in, as Thomas said, they're in the computer.
Yeah.
In the computer.
I'm not complaining.
No. It's just something that, like, it's a nostalgic factor of that sitting there thinking about, like, oh yeah, that was always fun. Like
that is cool. And I do kind of miss shit like that. I miss that kind of experimentation. But also at the end of the day, when I was a kid, I didn't have a memory card, so I played the first level of Sonic Heroes like 20 fucking times. I would rather avoid that.
This is fair. And there's nothing quite – well, I mean, now when you have to download a game and you don't have space, that is almost the same thing. But there's not quite like you beat a thing and you're like, I'm going to save it. What do you mean? What do you mean I have no memory? What do you mean I'm out – I have to delete things to do. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I have this cherished thing or this thing I just did with oh no.
there was a period in time where we like where my family we had the PS2 but we didn't have a memory card, so there was a lot of that of just playing the same stuff over and over until finally they were like, it was like, found a memory card.
I think you brought that up in the Carzo episode.
Yes, yeah, that did happen with Cars. I would just play the opening level over and over.
So another fun fact for this game, and I think actually the European title of this game, is Need for Speed Road Challenge.
Interesting.
I think High Stakes is probably a better name, but a more descriptive name, Road Challenge, actually describes it a little better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but Road Challenge also means a race.
Fair enough.
Need for Speed Race.
This one's a racing game.
What are the rest?
Whoa!
What are the rest? Well, the first one was an RTS.
Need for Speed, the RTS.
this one was an MMORPG.
But yeah, so I think as we've meandered around all this, This game was fun. We had fun playing it.
It's
legitimately.
This happens with a lot of racing games that are just racing. There's not a lot to talk about. And it's not, that doesn't mean the game is bad. Not by any means.
Yeah, no.
It just means when we get to do an episode, we're like, yep, it was fun. And it was fun.
The car went vroom. And then it went into a wall. And then it went vroom again.
Because mostly what, here, if you haven't listened to any of our other episodes about realistic racing games, let me sum it up for you. It's 20% talking about the game, 30% meandering bullshit, and 50% Mason talking about cars.
Mason unlocked the special car for this game for us.
Which was something that I do not remember doing in the original. Like, I remember, because the thing that I did remember was the really fun thing in the test driving was the helicopter being able to drive around as a hovering helicopter.
It was so dumb looking.
Acts like a car.
It still acts like a car. Has tire screeching sounds. The shadow is car shaped. Like, they really did the bare minimum with this stupid.
It was. Hey, you're gonna have fun driving around as a helicopter that doesn't go up or down.
Yeah. Which was fun.
You don't want to go down because down would have been into the pavement.
I was going to say down would have just.
But the special car that you brought up, that was something that I don't ever remember doing in the
Phantom.
Phantom, yeah. It was this big, long car with like many spoilers and was very fast and very hard to control. And oh dear God, help me.
It was fun to drive around as. We're doing a hot pursuit and I got caught, but I survived quite a while. I'm getting around in circles because the car, if you could get around and go, you are so fast.
Oh yeah.
So
if you're on a runaway, you're reaching like light speed on that son of a bitch.
But that was really cool. And again, that's kind of a bygone era, is that like these special unlockable one cars that are super good, that only can be unlocked via cheat code, you know, that's a thing that,
because that cheat code is $3.99, baby.
Now it's a DLC that, hey, you paid, cool, now you're good at the game. Yay. Get it? Because this is an EA game.
I'm going to stop myself.
But
I'll go on this tangent after we're done.
But I think this also, there's a little bit of nostalgia in this game, even though I didn't play this game as a kid. I didn't start playing Need for Speed until the Underground franchise. But there's a nostalgia for that old EA style that just doesn't exist anymore.
Good EA.
It's not even that this good, it's just that they had this such unique style that it's similar to when you go back and play some of those like 2007 to like 2012 2K games. And yeah, 2K still made a lot of good games and things like that. But they had that distinct style that then it's all kind of become the same thing. The EA Sports games and the 2K, they all kind of become this amalgamation of this is what a sports game or a racing game is supposed to look like. And there's just something very unique about this old EA style that I really like. That harkens back to that this game feels like it. Maybe it's the soundtrack that just is, you know, very 90s. Maybe it's just the look of all of it. I'm like, oh yeah, those are the 90s. Maybe you get that Dolby surround sound that gives that old PlayStation logo boot up that thing for it. There's just something about this game that I was like, oh yeah, that's that nostalgia of that, like, that time when EA had style that wasn't just, hey, we make Madden and FIFA.
Remember when we had the Star Wars license? You still do. Oh shit, we do?
I swore I thought we sold that off for money, didn't we?
It's a bygone era when EA made good games.
It's, especially in these sort of things, it's just one of those that's like, oh yeah, this is what EA was.
Yeah.
You know, EA was the name of games for a while.
And then they sold their soul to the devil.
And like looking at who developed this, it was EA Canada and EA Seattle. Seattle, I think, developed the PC. Canada, the PlayStation.
Is that why there's a Canada map in here?
Possibly.
Is that the only reason?
Possibly.
Why else would there be a Canada map?
It has the train, therefore it's the best map.
Exactly.
And that's fair. They just had to put it in a fake country.
Afterwards, Canada would become EA Vancouver and pretty much only make FIFA and NHL games. EA Seattle would go under and become an entirely new company sold off for it by EA.
Wow.
So like this really is a bygone era. Like this is a game that you can look in this in kind of like a point in time and be like, wow.
It's a time capsule for sure.
This isn't going to be a rant to the same extent as the Grand Theft Auto one, but EA Canada to EA Vancouver. That's the same goddamn thing. Vancouver is in Canada.
I'd be like,
that'd be like going EA America to EA Washington.
It'd be like if EA Seattle at first was EA Oregon.
Right.
It's probably rebranding because they probably had EA Montreal or something like that. Yeah, and that's probably why they.
Oh, yeah, probably. It's one of those things where I'm like, that, what?
EA St. Louis to EA Missouri. Or vice versa. But yeah, that's just my final thing before we get to the questions. Just like there's just a nostalgia. And again, even when I wasn't playing, like just sitting down and watching it, I was like, oh, this is a type of game that will never exist again.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And there's just kind of like, whether because of technology or the companies or the way the industry has gone, just sitting going, there are so many things about this game that just do not exist and will never exist again. From the memory cards, from the controls, from everything about it. It's just, it really is a nostalgia trip,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, more than I think any PlayStation game we've played, this really was like, maybe it just triggered in my brain of just being like, wow, that's what it was like. I miss it at times.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But anyway, on this podcast, we ask two important questions of every game that we play. The first one is, how does the game hold up?
After a reset, it held up fine.
Yeah.
Better than like most of better than I think all of the early racing games that we've played. In general, it hasn't held up great, I think.
I think it holds up just fine. You can boot it up and play it. There may be issues, whether that's disc, PlayStation issues. There are things that are very much issues. Maybe, you know, you have to locate a memory card. You have to locate all these things if you don't, you know, to play them. It's not a readily available game, you know.
It's not the first Need for Speed you're going to pick. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to play a Need for Speed, I doubt this is going to be the first one anyone picks. But if they do pick it, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those that I think we can differentiate. I don't think, like, graphically or control-wise, the hold-up is any problem. I think both those hold up really well, especially for what they are. I think the hardware is actually where it has faded in its hold-up. Yes, I think that's the thing that because, again, as you say, why, you know, I could go play Underground or Hot Pursuit 2, which is on three systems and runs amazingly, you know, and does a lot of the same things this game does. So, like, that, it's one of those where it's like, I don't think it holds up bad, but also there are things that does hold it back. Nostalgia aside.
Right.
You just now brought up Underground, so listen up, Tander. Have I ever told you guys how I got Underground?
No.
So I went to the... It's going to sound lame. I went to the game store and I bought it. It wasn't the game I bought. I
opened it up and it was...
No, yes and no. I bought something called Legend of Kai or something like that. It was a PS2 game. It's by Bottle Rocket Entertainment, I think. Will probably be an episode later on, but I don't remember at the moment. It was just something where I'm like, oh, this will be a fun game. I open it, that game falls out, and underneath it is Need for Speed Underground, and I was like... Me.
Oh, nice. You got two games for the price of one.
I was like,
cool.
That's like when I tell this story multiple times to different people. Like my first Final Fantasy game that I played was Final Fantasy V. Not because it was intended to play, but because when we rented what we thought was Final Fantasy VIII from Hastings and found out that that was just the demo that came with Final Fantasy V, the first Final Fantasy that I played all the way through was Final Fantasy V.
Damn.
I know this probably wasn't, but I'm just imagining the disc is Final Fantasy VIII massive font and then really tiny font. Is a demo for Final Fantasy.
We're like, huh, okay, wait, what do you mean? It's just, oh no. All right, well, we'll play this one. But yeah, I think to finish the question off, holds up fine. There are things you can nitpick, but in the end, holds up pretty fine. Hardware notwithstanding is the kind of the big thing that holds it back. The second question we ask of every game that we play, would you like to see a remake or reimagining of this game in a modern setting?
The point to the person whose opinion matters, I guess. This is another game that we played where, like, I don't know if a full from the ground up remake of this would make very much sense, because this franchise has, there have been so many entries of this franchise.
$5, baby.
He said the thing. Thomas and I beforehand, literally Thomas is like, you know what Mason's going to say to this question, right?
But there have been, like, so many, and, like, this, like, as much as we've sung this game's praise for how not dated it is, in its own franchise, it's been left behind, and pretty much. So, I think nothing more than, like, throwing this game on the PlayStation Store, mm-hmm. or hell, throwing it up with the first three, that's fine.
That would legitimately...
That's what I was thinking, a collection
of the first four games that were all PlayStation games would be awesome.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 in high stakes.
Yeah, I'm with Mason. I don't really need a ground-up remake, because
no.
At that point, it plays like Need for Speed 2015 or Need for Speed Payback or
Need
for Speed, the other one.
Not to mention, as I said earlier, Hot Pursuit 2 came out on all of the systems.
Yeah. Right,
so. You know, and up there. And it plays very similarly, but better.
Yeah.
So, like, this is definitely one where I do very much agree with Mason on this, that I don't think that it needs a remake or reimagining. Now, what I said, all four of those games, going back and playing those old ones, I love those games. I would like to play the one Gran Turismo 1 and 2 more often. Like, those games are really fun. You just put them on the classic type store and let us be able to play them. Or, as I said, all four on a remastered, like, not even remastered, but like maybe a slight upgrade.
Right.
You know,
just here they are, baby.
Here they are. They run on PlayStation 5. They look good. You know, a little better. We've done a little touch up to them. Like, I would be totally okay with, like, just like, even if they wanted to, like, slightly, like, still keep the graphically the way, but like upgrade it, but keep it kind of like that older style, but make things around it look nicer. That actually wouldn't be a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
Not quite the same, but kind of what they've done with, like, the Pixel remasters, on the Final Fantasy Pixel remasters, and a couple of other things where it's just a tick upgrade. It going from, like, 16-bit to 32, you know, you know, it's just those sort of things. Wouldn't hate that. Like, I think the game would be fun still, but I think in the end, I don't think that EA or any studio around needs to invest tons of money to remake or remaster this game.
Yeah, no.
But there are definitely positives to this, because I think this is legitimately one of the best, if not the best, Need for Speed on the PlayStation, the original PlayStation.
Yes.
And that is something that I think is really cool, that it is something that exists. But as we said with kind of the hardware and why it doesn't hold up, some of the things that make it charming on a new modern system aren't going to be there. You're not going to be able to take your memory card. Maybe if you set it up that you can play online, but again, then you're spending more money, and we could end up with a Battlefront situation on our hands. Where
yes or no, because if you just go online, that'd be fine. But the issue would be like, hey, you beat the guy. Now pay $4, you fuck!
Well, I was talking about, like, the new remastered Battlefront versions that had, like, when they released the remaster of Battlefront 1 and 2, and it was just, the online just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, again, I think... what they should do is drop it on the store, or a physical copy that just has all four on it without much any upgrades.
Yes.
But they could do with things like that. But yeah, that's our jump into Need for Speed. High stakes. What do you guys think? What is your favorite Need for Speed? We would like to know. Let us know. Drop us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. Or if you'd like us to play a game, please not another goddamn racing game. But if you'd like us to, you can make us. Subscribe me on our Patreon as one of our super bleep heads. $15 a month, and we'll play it.
You get Mason's burner account, and it's just going to be $15, all of them.
Everyone! Yeah. That is the conclusion of racing games for this season.
Not exactly.
Except what's happening next time. Burn it.